Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kamma Daf Samachay, and we will begin on Daf Samach Dalet Amid Beis on the bottom line, the words V'Hayim Himatzei. As we learned in the previous shiur, the Torah uses the words Himatzei Timatzei, and we had a machlokes. What do we learn from those words? One opinion was that the Pesukim and Parashas Mishpatim are both coming to teach us the halacha of Toyin Tanaskanov, of Shemichinim falsely claims that an item that was left by him for watching was stolen, and actually he lies and he swears falsely to corroborate that lie, he's chayif to pay kefil. And that the din that a ganif, a regular ganif, has to pay kefil, we learn from Himatzei Timatzei. Another opinion held that one pasuk, one of those pasukim, is talking about Toyin Tanis Ganif. However, the other pasuk is referring to regular Ganif. And we learn from the pasuk of Himatzei Timatzei that Moide B'Knas V'Achakach Be'o Edim, that if somebody was Moide B'Knas and even afterwards Edim came, so we no longer need his admission, still the halacha is Potter. But whatever the case, we have used the words Himatzei Timatzei for various purposes. Ask the Gemara, V'hai im himatzei lahachi duasa, is that what we learn from the words im himatzei tamatzei, hamibay luchidatanya? Don't we need it for what we learned in the following braisa? The pasuk says, im himatzei tamatzei biyadoi hagneva, yadoi, if I would only have the word yadoi, I would think only eli yadoi. If he actually stole something with his hands, gagoy chatzer v'kafeifai, he just caused that the item should be enter his roof, his chatzer, his yard, minayin, that is also considered a maisa gneva, tamaloymer, im himatzei timatzei mikol makom. We learn from the himatzei timatzei that even if it were just found in his property, it's already considered a maisa gneva. And as a machlokes rishonim, how this limit is achieved. The rishonim say, as we learned in the previous year, that the Gemara taught us, the kol makom shnei mishnei klolos, wherever there are two klolos put together, hatel prat beinayim, put a prat between them. And therefore they understand the pasuk to be saying, the Gemara to be saying, take the word yodoi and place it between himatzei and timatzei, and we now have a klal prat, the klal iatadon el kein prat, something similar, and anything that's biyodoi, anything that finds itself in my property, it's considered as if I stole it. The Malbim says that the way to understand the Gemara is that the pasuk should have actually have said im hagneva himatzei timatzei, if the gneva should be found. By the Torah first saying himatzei timatzei, and then putting in the word biyodei hagneva, it indicates that it doesn't necessarily have to have been stolen with his hands. The Meshech Chochma says the way to understand the Gemara is if the pasuk would have said im yimatzei haganef, then the pasuk would be teaching us that the only type of geneva that is considered a geneva is im yimatzei haganef, the type of a theft that the ganef can be caught as he's doing it. That means an active act of stealing. But the Torah doesn't use those words. The Torah uses the words im himatzei timatzei biyodei hageneva, even though the geneva is not an actual geneva, it's only found in the ganef's rishus, it's still considered a geneva. The Rishonim also point out that we have learned that there's a concept of kinyan chatzer, that something is in my chatzer can become mine. So of course, if something is found in the chatzer of the ganef, it's the ganef's. So why do we need a special limud? So the Rishonim explain that the reason chatzer is an effective kinyan is because it works mitam shlichus. That a chatzer is considered an shliach, an extension of the person. However, we also know there's a concept that we've discussed, ein shliach l'dvar aveira. So since here it's a dvar aveira, it's a maisa geneva, Therefore, the regular Kinyan Chatzur, the regular Lomdus of Kinyan Chatzur, is not applicable, and we need a special limud. There's also Machloikus Achroinim, when we're saying that just that the item is found in the person's property, that creates a situation of Geneva. What does that mean? Some Achroinim learn that the Ktsois learns that way, that only if an act was done to consummate the Geneva. In other words, if the animal came into my property and I closed the door with the intent of stealing the animal, that is considered a Maisa Geneva. But if the animal just comes into my property, but it doesn't, but I don't do any follow-up act, that would not be considered a Maisa Geneva. The Machna Frayim disagrees. Machna Frayim holds that just having the animal come into my property and I wanting that to happen, and I intending it to steal, it's considered a Maisa Geneva. There's an interesting compromise position which is suggested by the Imre Moshe, that as far as Karen is concerned, as far as the obligation to pay for the Karen, that comes immediately as the item comes into the Rishus of the Ganav. However, the Chiyuv Kefil that the Ganav has doesn't come until he actually does an act of, so to speak, closing the door of the Chatzar. So the Gemara's question is, how can we use the words Himatzi Tematzi to teach us the various Limudim that we mentioned at the beginning of our Shir? Isn't it needed to teach us this Halacha? Answers the Gemara, Im Kain, Lemakra, Oy Himatzi Himatzi, Oy Timatzi Tematzi. The Torah could have used the same word twice. Midashani Kra, since the Torah changed its wording from Himatzi Timatzi, Shmamina Tati, we could learn two Halachas. We could learn the Halacha that we just learned, that the animal ending up in my chatzar is considered a geneva, plus the other halachas that we've discussed at the beginning of this year. As we finish this sugya, this gemara helps us understand a question that was bothering me as we were learning the entire sugya. If we look in the psukim in the Torah that we've been discussing, that teaches us the halacha of geneva, of toyntanis ganav, the halacha of kefil, the examples the Torah uses keep on referring to animals. Shor, chamor, se. And the question is why, especially as we learned in the Mishnah and the Gemara, the halacha of kefil is not limited to live things. Why did the Torah choose to use as the primary examples always examples about live things? But now that we've established that there's a new way to affect Geneva, not only when an active act of stealing, but also by causing the animal to end up in my chatzar, which is of course unique only to animals. Other items cannot end up by themselves in my chatzar. So it's most possible to do Geneva by animals more than anything else, and that's why it's most appropriate that the Pasuk uses animals as the primary example of what is Geneva. Gufa, so we learned in the previous year, Omarav, Karen Ken Shigonav. We know that a Ganav has to pay Karen, the principal, the value of the principal, what he stole, and he also has to pay Kefil, and if he slaughtered or sold a Shor Seh, he has to pay Abav Chamisha. So how do we evaluate the value of what he stole? And there's a machlokes rishonim as we begin the sugya to understand what we're referring to. Some rishonim say that our gemara is specifically referring to a situation where the person is not giving back the actual item that he stole. He's only giving back money, the value. And the question is, how do we make that assessment? But if he's giving back the item or he's giving back animals, then it wouldn't be the same. This sugya would not be relevant. Others say it makes no difference, other rishonim. So Rav says Karen, the evaluation of the Karen is Ken Shiganav, the value it had when it was stolen. Tashlumei Kefil v'Tashlumei Abav v'Chamisha Kishas Hamad B'Din. The Tashlumei Kefil and Tashlumei Abav v'Chamisha are valued as Hamad B'Din. So regarding Kefil, the Rishonim explain that the way we make this evaluation is when the Torah begins, when the Edom come, that's the time to make the evaluation. But there is a Machlokes Rishonim regarding Arba V'Chamisha. Some Rishonim say that it's the same din, that the evaluation for Arba V'Chamisha is also made as the Edom and the Din Torah begin. However, other Rishonim suggest that Arba V'Chamisha is evaluated at the time that the Tvicha or the Mechira took place. Ask the Gemara, my time of the Rav, what is the basis of Rav's Psak? And the Rishonim explain, the question that the Gemara is asking is, why does Rav differentiate between Keren versus Kefal and Arba V'Chamisha? There is a debate amongst the Rishonim, which is the Chiddush? Is the Chiddush the Keren, or is the Chiddush that you go Shas Geneva, or is the Chiddush Arba V'Chamisha and Kefal that you follow HaShas HaMod B'Din? Says the Gemara, Amakra, Geneva V'Chayim. The Torah says the words Geneva V'Chayim. Im himotze timotze biyoda Geneva Mishor ad chamor ad se Chayim Shnayim Mishalim. And the simple way of learning the Gemara is that the words Geneva V'Chayim are superfluous. Other Rishonim learn that what is this connection between Geneva and Chayim? What is the Torah specifying that it's Chayim that's alive? To teach us, Achyel Keren, revive the Keren, Ken Shiganov, at the value it had when the Geneva took place. Omer of Sheshis, Amina, I think that Kinayim V'Shocher Rav Amal Hashmatza. Rav said this psak when he was half asleep. I don't agree with this psak of Rav. The Tanya, because we learned in a Braisa, Chush of Ishmena, if somebody stole an animal that was lean and he fattened it, is the halacha misham tashlumi kefal v'tashlumi abar v'chamisha, both the kefal and the payment of the abar v'chamisha are paid kein shiganov. The valuation is done at the value it had when he stole it. So this is clearly different than Rav, because Rav says that the kefal and tashlumi abar v'chamisha are done at the time of the Hamad Bedin. Amri answers the Gemara, Mishum da Omalei Anor Patimno Vat Shaklitz, because the Ganef could say, I was the one that caused the animal to become fatter. I invested in the animal that it should become fatter, therefore I should not have to pay for that. That's the way Rashi explains. Rashi, so in other words, according to Rashi, it's specifically in a situation where the Ganef invested in making the animal fatter. That's why the Ganef is potter, and we only evaluate it at its value that it had at the Shas Geneva. That means, according to Rashi, if the animal had become fatter by itself, not because of an investment by the Ganef, then the halacha would be that he would not have to pay he would have to pay according to the value it had b'shas tvicha mechira b'shas hamod b'din. The question is that the Achronim ask, the Gemara says that if I go and I make somebody else's property better, the halacha is that I could collect from the property owner the money I put into the property, but the upgrade, the value that the property went up, belongs to the property owner. Here too, even if the Ganef invested in making the animal fatter, it's the victim's animal that got better. Why are we considering it that the Ganef should benefit? So the Chazon Ish explains that the reason the Ganef benefits, because still, since the Ganef stole something, it was he that stole something that was worth a certain amount, that is what is we have to view, and we don't have to view the fact that he made it better. Is we have to accept his taina, because this is a punishment that we're giving to the ganav, that he has to pay arba v'chamisha. He's not deserving knas on something that he caused that was to benefit. Tosfos, however, has a different explanation of the Gemara. And according to Tosfos' explanation, whether the ganav actively invested in the animal to make it better, whether the animal became fatter by itself, if the animal changed and became better, it's going to be to the ganav's benefit. What's pshat in Tosfos? So Rachroinim explained Tosfos' position that a ganav has to pay for what he stole. If the animal got better, it's not what he stole, and therefore that's not taken into consideration when we make the evaluation. Toshma. So Gemara tries to bring a proof from the following brisa. This is the opposite situation. Shmeina v'chisha. If the animal became leaner, the halach is mishalom tashlumi kefil v'tashlumi arba v'chamisha kein shagonav. Again, the Gemara's question, according to Rav, shouldn't we follow the time of Hamad Abedin? And says the Gemara, Hasan Nami, Bishum Damrinale, Mali Kotla Kula, Mali Kotla Palga. Since it was the Ganav that weakened the animal, so weakening the animal is considered the beginning of the Maisa Tvicha. Even though the actual Tvicha was consummated when the animal actually was killed, but it really is viewed from the moment that he started being machish, started weakening the animal. Ki kamarav, when did Rav say his halacha that we follow either the moment of geneva or we follow either the moment of hamad b'din? It's not where the animal got bigger or got leaner, got fatter or leaner. Rav was speaking specifically b'yukav azula d'kamar, when the price of the animal fluctuated. Because the animals are a commodity, that the prices of this commodity fluctuate. Ask the Gemara, Heichi Dami, exactly what is the situation that Rav is speaking to? Ilayim de Mikar Shavi Zaza, that at the time the animal was stolen, it was worth one zuz. Ul B'soif, B'shas Hamad B'din, it was Shavi Arba Zuz, it was worth four zuzun. So, and Rav is telling us that in those circumstances, Karen Chain Shagonav, the principal is assessed at the value it had when the Geneva took place. Says the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to understand Rav, Lema Pligi de Rava de Rabba, it would mean that Rav would be disagreeing with Rabba. Dama Rava, Haiman de Gozal Chavita de Chamra Mechavri, if somebody stole a barrel of wine from someone else, Mikara Shav Yezuzah, if at the time of theft it was worth only one zuz, and then Shavi Arba Zuzi, it went up to be worth four zuz, Tavro Shasya, and the person broke the barrel, or drank the wine in the barrel, so he followed the value it had at the moment that he drank it or broke it, and Mishalom Arba. Only if Izbr Mimela, if it broke by itself, not that the Ganif actively broke it, will we say Mishalom Zuzah, that we take the value of what it had b'shas the geneva took place. The Achrayim have a very difficult time understanding this Gemara, because according to Rabba, which we're going to see, Rav follows actually his opinion. The question here is, we know, we learned in the Mishnah, going to learn in the Gemara later in the Perek, the Aloch is Hagoynef Men Aganef Potter. If somebody steals from a Ganef, he's Potter, because you could only have one Maisa Geneva. So the question here is, if this Ganef stole this barrel, at that moment he was the Ganef, and at that moment he became Chayev. Why is he Chayev again for what happens later on when he breaks or drinks up the wine in the barrel? So the Tzoyis explains that the reason he's Chayev because of the value at the moment of breaking or drinking up the wine is because he's not chayiv for geneva. Geneva already took place, says the Tzoyis. The chayiv because of a mazik. Somebody broke this barrel, he did a maisa hezek. And since he did a maisa hezek, that's why he's chayiv. The Nesivus has a very interesting pshat. he says it's considered a Maisa Geneva. However, says the Nesivus, every act of Geneva really entails a number of concepts. When I own something, says the Nesivus, there's two parts to owning something. There's something called Shaloi, it's mine, I own it. And Brishusoi, it's in my domain. If somebody steals something from me, he violated the Brishusoi. He took that item which was Brishusoi, my Brishus, and took it away from me. But it's still Shaloi. Wherever it is, it's mine. Now, if somebody goes, however, and therefore, let's go a step further, Hagoynef min Ganef, if somebody steals from that Ganef, he really hasn't accomplished anything. Because Brishusoi, in my Rishus, it already wasn't. And Shaloi, it still is. However, now if somebody goes and breaks it, or drinks up the wine, not only is it no longer Brishusoi, no longer is it in my property, which was already the case beforehand, but it's also not Shaloi, it's no longer mine anymore. Because I don't it doesn't exist in the world. So now he did a new act of Geneva. And that's why, if he breaks it or drinks up the wine, it's considered a new act of Geneva, and we evaluate the value of it at the time of the drinking or breaking. However, the Gemara continues to say that if it broke by itself, then we evaluate it according to the value it had, b'shas Geneva. There's a machloikis hapoiskim. What does this, the Gemara speaks about it b'memela, when it broke ba'oinis. But what would be the halach if it broke b'pshia? That means that the ganef did not properly watch it, and because the ganef didn't watch it, it broke. And we know a shomer is chai for p'shia. So the sma in taka says that he's considered like he broke it intentionally if he did not watch it properly. However, many achroinim, the taz, and many other achroinim disagree with the sma, because they say that a shomer by definition is somebody who was appointed and accepted upon himself to properly watch an object. This individual certainly did not intend to watch this object. He was a ganef, not a shomer, and since he's a ganef and not a shomer, therefore he's potter even if it broke because of his pshia of not watching it properly. And by using this concept, we could also answer a question that the Ramban asks. The Ramban asks that a ganef should not be worse than a shoyel. And we know that a shoyel is chayiv even for einsim. So why is our brayse the same? And on this there is no debate that if it broke by accident, Mishalim ke'en shagonav, but he shouldn't be worse than a shoyel, and a shoyel is chayiv finds him. Says the Ramban that a gazlan is not the same as a shoyel, because a shoyel, when somebody borrows an object from someone else, it's still completely the owner's. The owner just chose to lend and allow someone else to use it. This person didn't ask if he could use it. This person wasn't appointed a shoyel by the owner of the object. This person on his own went and stole it. And therefore we can't compare, says the Ramban, a gazlin to a shoyel, and therefore even a shoyel is chayv for einsim, a gazlin will not be chayv for einsim. But the Gemara's question remains. Rav says that we follow the Keren, we follow the value it had, b'shas the Geneva, and here Rav says that we follow the time that it broke, or the wine was drank. Answers the Gemara, Amri, ki kama Rav, when the Rav say his din, ki goin the makara shavi arva, l'b'shoib shavi zuzo. He spoke about the opposite situation, was originally worth 4 zuzim, and now it's worth only 1 zuz. Keren, we follow Kain Shigonov, the value it had at the Shas Geneva, Tashlume Kefa, but Tashlume Abba B'chamisha, that we follow Kishas Hamad B'din. Says the Gemara, Tanir Chanina L'siyu L'Rav. We learned a brice that corroborates Rav's opinion. Balabai Shetan Tanis Ganem B'kodin, and as the Rishonim explained, it's not really a Baal Bayis, it's a Shomer. If a Shomer claims that the Mekadim that was left by him was stolen, falsely claims that it was stolen. For Nishban, he falsely swears to say that. For Haydin, then he admits that he was lying. Uba Edim, and then Edim come and say that he himself was the Ganif. The Halach is, Im Atchloi Ba Edim Haydu, if he admitted before the Edim came, so then he'll pay Karen V'Chaymish V'Asham. He'll pay like the Halach is, as we discussed, by any Asham Gzelis, that he pays the Karen Chaymish V'Asham. Ask the Achroinim. At the end of the previous year, we discussed the subject of Maida B'Knas, V'Achach Ba'Edim, if Zichayiv the Knas or not. Here we have a situation of exactly that, where it was Maida B'Knas, he was Maida they did the Aveira, but since he was Maida before the Edim came, the Bryce is telling us that he's Potter from paying the Kefil. Isn't this a clear proof that Maida B'Knas, V'Achach Ba'Edim is Potter? So some Rishonim indeed say that this price is clearly in contrast to Shmuel's opinion, the Moed B'Knas V'Achkach B'Edim Chayiv, but Shmuel has other Tanoim, other prices that corroborate his opinion. However, other explain that this is not a question, that here, since he's paying Chaymish, and he's going to pay Karban Asham, even the man, the Omer, that normally holds Moed B'Knas V'Achach Ba'edim is Chayiv, that's only where he's going to not have to pay anything above the principal. But here, since he is going to end up paying above the principal, he's going to be paying the Chaymish, he's going to be paying the Karban Asham, everybody will agree, even the man, the Omer, that says Moed B'Knas V'Achach Ba'edim is Chayiv, will agree that here he doesn't have to pay the Knas. However, if he only admitted to his Aveira after Edom came, he has to pay Kefil V'Asham, he doesn't have to pay Chaymish, the Kefil covers it, Divrei Yaakov. But we're going to learn the Gemara, as Rashi explains the Gemara. That when did Rabbi Yaakov say that the Kefil could cover the Chaymish payment? That's only when the Kefil and the Chaymish payments are identical. But if the Kefil and the Chaymish payments aren't the same, then I'll have to pay Kefil and Chaymish separately. And the Achroinim explain the basis of Rashi's explanation of Rav Yaakov's opinion, because they say Kefil and Chaymish have different purposes. Kefil is a knas, Kefil is a fine. Chaymish is a kapara. And you can't cover both with one payment. So if they're exactly the same payment, so then they can be covered with one payment. If not, it's clear that you're paying it for one purpose and not for the other purpose. And since they have other different purposes, one can't cover the other. Only when they're exactly the same. Tosfos, however, has a different opinion on explaining Rabbi Yaakov. According to Tosfos, even if the Kefil and the Chaymish are not the identical payments, still, Tosfos says, if the Chaymish is less equal or less than the Kefil, the halacha is that the Kefil payment will cover the Chaymish. The obvious question in understanding Tosfos' opinion of Rabbi Yaakov is that the Gemara is going to teach us in a moment that that's the opinion of the Chachamim, that the Chachamim hold that you don't have to pay Chaymish if you're paying Kefil. Obviously, Rabbi Yaakov disagrees with the Chachamim. So how will Tosfos understand the machloikas of Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim? So I saw two ways of explaining it. One way of explaining it is that Tosfos holds that the Kefil payment could cover the Chaymish payment and the Kefil payment. But the person, when he makes the payment, according to Tosfos, the Ganif will clearly have to indicate that his goal is to cover both payments. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov. And if he doesn't say that, he'll have to pay the Kefil separately and the Chaymish separately. According to the Chum, however, he's completely exempt from paying the Chaymish. Another way of explaining Tosfos' opinion is the way the Maram explains Tosfos. The Maram says that even according to Tosfos, when does the Kefil cover the Chaymish? Only if the Kefil is equal, if the Chaymish is equal or less than the Kefil. But if the Chaimish payment is more than the Kefil payment, and we'll be able to explain, understand such a scenario shortly, there Tosfos will agree that according to the Chachamim, he still doesn't have to pay the Chaimish. According to Rabbi Yaakov, he would have to pay the Chaimish. The Netziv uses our Gemara, the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov and our Gemara, to discuss an interesting Shaila and Halacha. The Shaila that comes up is, let's say somebody accepted upon himself to fast a number of days. He accepted upon himself he's going to fast every Monday for the next couple of months. And during those couple of months, one of the Mondays is a fast day that we have to fast anyway. It's Tanis Esther, or one of the other Tanaisim. Could he be Mekayim his nether, even though he's fasting on the day that he had to fast anyway, or not? Says the Netziv, based on our Gemara, that if the two obligations are identical, if the Kefil and the Chaimish are identical payments, everybody agrees that that's acceptable. Here too, since they're identical, he doesn't have to pay. The halacha would be that he could fast that one day and be mekayim both obligations. The Chachamim, however, say v'chacham omrim b'roishoy v'chamishosoy. Maman ha'mishtalam b'roish moisef chaimish. If he has to pay just the keren, then he has to add a chaimish. Mamish emishtam b'roish. But if he doesn't just have to pay the keren, ein moisef chaimish, then he doesn't have to pay the chaimish. Rav Shimon Yochai is even more lenient. Because according to Rabbanim, although if he's paying kefil, he doesn't have to pay the chaimish, but the carbon asham, he still has to pay. The Rav Shimon Yochai, however, holds, ein chaimish asham mishtalim b'makos sheyesh kefil. Not only does he not have to pay the chaimish, but he doesn't have to pay the kefil. K'tarimiyus, however, what did the Braisa say? Chaimish oyloi b'kfeiloi divrei Rav Yaakov. According to Rav Yaakov, the chaimish and the kefil, again, we're going to learn the Gemara as Rashi explained the Gemara, that the chaimish and the kefil, if they're identical, he doesn't have to pay the chaimish separately. But the question is, hechidami, how can we have such a scenario that the chaimish, which represents 20%, is equal to kefil, which is double? Ilayim v'demikar shavya arba. If we'll say it's a situation that originally the item was worth 4 zuz. Or b'soif shavya arba, and at the end it's also worth, b'shas hamad b'din, it's worth 4 zuz. Chaimish oyla b'kfeila? How can we have that the chaimish equals the kfeila? Kfeila, arba. The kfeila would be, the kefil would be another 4. Chaimish is a zuza. Why is chaimish a zuz? Because as we know, when the Torah calculates a chaimish, it's not milgav, it's rather milbar. Milgav and milbar mean as follows. Do we figure the 20% from within or without? Let's say we start with $80. So we would say a chaimish, 20%, is 16. That's milgav. Milbar says that it's really 20. Because we take the number 100, 20% of 100 is 20, and we're left with the 80 that we began with. So that's the kefil and the chaimish not equal. Elav, it must be a situation. The mikara shava arba at the beginning was worth 4 zuz. Ulpsoif b'shas hamad b'din it was only shavya zuzah. The kfeila that the kfeila is a zuz for chaimish zuzah and the chaimish zuz. But we're going to follow this approach. Alma keren kain shaganov. Obviously we look at keren not. We must be saying that we look at the keren at the moment of the geneva. And the Tashlume Kefil and Tashlume Abu Chamisha Kishas Hamad Bedin. Obviously, this Braisa holds like Rav that that's how we make the calculation. Amarava, no. Loilam will say the Mikara Shavya Abra that the item that was stolen was originally worth 4 zuz, Vashtanam Shavya Abra, and now also it's worth 4 zuz. We asked, or the kasha, if that's the case, how do we have a scenario that the kefil and the chaimish are the same? The kefil is arba, the chaimish is only zuz. Says the Gemara, "Chamay skinin kigon shenishba v'chayzer v'nishba arba pamim." That the person swore falsely 4 times, and for every false shvua, he owes a chaimish, so he owes 4 zuzim, 4 chamshim. and then he admits that Tyra Amr Vachamishasoy, Hatyra Ripsa, Chamishis Harba Karanakas, you could be chayiv many chaimshim. So that's exactly what happens here. He's chayiv four chaimshim for the four full shvuas that he made, and which is equal to the kefil, which is also equal four, but it could well be that we look at the value of the object not at the time of the geneva, but rather at the time of Hamad Bedin. The Rishonim, of course, point out that it's not that he swore falsely four times in the same Bezdin, because no one Bezdin is going to allow him to swear falsely four times to keep on saying the same false shvua. He must have made these four false shvuas in four different Bati Dinim. Another point that the Achronim ask is that don't we have here a situation of Chayta Nisker, meaning as follows. Let's think through the scenario that the Gemara just portrayed. The person swore falsely four times, and therefore he owes four chayim, which are four zuzim. If he had only, and that's equal to the kefil, which is also four zuzim. Let's say he would have only sworn falsely three times, so he would only owe three zuzim, three chayim, which would not be identical to the kefil, which is four zuzim. And then, according to Rabbi Yaakov, at least according to Rashi's explanation of Rabbi Yaakov, he would have to pay the Chaymi separately and the Kefil separately. So it comes out, asked Achroinim, that because he swore falsely more, he gains. Isn't that a concept that we try to avoid of Chayt and Isker, of a sinner benefiting? Answered Achroinim, if indeed the halacha were that he swore falsely, and Bezdin Taskin that he owes a Zuz, owes a Chaymish for that Shvua, and that would happen four times, that would indeed be a case of Chayta Nisker. But that's not what happened here, they explain. What happened here is he swore falsely four times before he ever admitted to swearing falsely, before Bezdin ever obligated him to pay the Chaymish. And then in one time, he admits for the four false Shvuas. So it's not Chayta Nisker, because he made all the shvu, he made the haidah only at one time. Amamar, so when we said the opinion, we quoted the Braisa said, if he's only paying the keren, then Moisef Chaimish, he has to add the Chaimish, Mamish Eimishtam Baroish, but if he's not paying the keren, he's paying kefil, Eim Moisef Chaimish, he doesn't have to add a Chaimish. Aval Asher Maisi. According to Chum, as we pointed out, the carbon Asher will still have to bring. Ask the Gemara, Maishna Chaimish Tolay Mishalim, why according to the Chum doesn't he not pay the Chaimish? The Ksir Baroisha Vechamishasoi. Because the Torah clearly said, you only pay Chaimish if you only pay the Karen. So ask the Gemara, Asher Nami Loy Mishalim, so you ought not to have to give the carbon Asher either. The Ksir Baroisha Vechamishasoi Vesashamoi. The Torah says that the Torah puts Asher and Chaimish in the same pasuk. Answer the Rabbanan, Amach Rabbanan, Es Paske Kro. The word esk separates the chaimish from the oshim. And therefore the chaimish you only pay if you're only paying keren, not if you're paying kefil. The oshim you pay no matter what. Rav Shimon ben Yochai, who says that not only don't you have to pay the chaimish, but you also don't have to pay the oshim. How does he explain the pasuk? He says, V'es avivikro. Indeed, if it only had an S, it would separate the dinim of the chaimish from the oshim. But it doesn't say es, it says ves. Rabbanan amrilach, Rabbanan say, loy lichtav rechmona, loy vav, v'loy es. The Torah should not have written not the word vav, and not the word es. The fact that the Torah does write the word vav and es, it means it's separate, and the chaimish and oshim have different dinim. So why do we need the vav? And the chaimish is only paid when we're paying the keren, the Oshim, but if we're paying kefil, we don't pay the chaimish, and the Oshim you always pay. So ask the Rishonim, so don't say anything, and don't say the vav, why do you need the vav? So the Rishonim explain as follows. According to Rabbanan, the S separates the chaimish from the Oshim, as our Gemara is explaining, that sometimes you pay the chaimish and the Oshim, and sometimes you pay the Oshim alone. But the Vav tells us that sometimes you pay them both. So we need the S to say sometimes I only do the Asham, and I need the Vav to say that in the normal circumstances where he's not paying the Kefil, he pays both the Chaymish and the Kefil. Rav Shimon Yochai's opinion is S like Sagid like Ksuv. The Torah has to write the S. Dlavsuke, because the Torah has to differentiate by Mam Gvoil and Mam and Hegit. The Chaymish goes to the victim who he stole from. The Asham is brought in the Mizbeach. And then Os Vav Avrikra to teach us, at least according to Shimon ben Yochai's opinion, they always travel together. When Yechayev and Asham, Yechayev Chaymish, and if not, when Yechayev Chaymish, Yechayev Asham, and if not, not. Actually, the Paiskim use our Gemara to teach us a halacha. The question comes up in the shuls when Yisker is recited and they mention the names of many people who unfortunately passed away on being remembered during the Yisker Tfilah. The question comes up, do we have to make a separate Kelmole for every Nifter, which obviously would take a lot of time and be a question of Tirchad Tzibura, or can we mention them all in one Kelmole, which might somewhat be disrespectful? Point out the Paiskim, the Al Gemara is now teaching us that if you use the word S, it's considered a proper separator. And therefore, if when they mention the names, they don't just list the names, they say the S in between each name, it's considered the proper covet, particularly if we also take into consideration Tircha de Tzibura, and the Yiska can be mentioned that way. Amar b'law, Ganav Tlev and Nasa Ayil. If somebody stole a lamb and it became a ram, a lamb matures into a ram at the age of 13 months and 1 day. Or Egel for Nasa Shah. He stole a calf and it becomes an axe, which happens at 2 years and 1 day. Nasa Shina B'yadai, that means there's a physical change has happened under the possession of the Ganav, the Kanoi, and he acquires it. And the halacha is that if a Ganav acquires, if there's a significant change on something that the Ganav stole, it becomes his, and he doesn't have to return the stolen item itself. He only has to make monetary compensation. Tavach HaMacher, and therefore if he then goes and shechts or sells it, Shaloy Tavach, Shaloy Mecher, he's not Chayiv Dal V'Hei, because it's his own animal that he's selling. It says in a brisa, God of Tlav Nasa Ayil, Egel Vanasa Shor, Misham Teshlumi Kefil, Veteshlumi Gaber, Vechamisha Kain Shiganov, he has to pay Kefil and Abba Vechamisha, Visal Kedaitach. Ask Rav Chanina Trebelah, if you're correct, that Kanya Bishinui, that it became the Ganav's property because of its change, Amay Mishalim, why would he have to pay Dal Vehei, Shaloyu Taveach, Shaloyu Moicher, isn't he shechting or selling something that he owns, and therefore why should he have to pay Dal Vehei? Omele, so Beloy says to Rav Chanina, Velamai, what are you suggesting? Shinui Loikana, that Shinui doesn't affect a change, and therefore it's not his. So the halach is, Amay Mishalim Kein Shiganov, why do we make the evaluation at the value it had when he stole it? L'shalim Ki Hashta, he should have to pay according to the current value if it's higher, as we learned in the explanation of Rav's opinion previously. Amale, so Rav Chanina said to him, Ki Hashta Hayna Tam D'Lay Mishalim, we don't take the current value. Mishim D'Amale Turagan V'Nach, because the Ganav could say, I stole, did I steal from you a Torah, an axe? Dichur gan menach, I only stole a ram. And therefore, even though its development is not considered a significant change, still, since that, the fact that it was a shor, not a keves, is relevant, and therefore he doesn't have to pay the value of a shor, he only has to pay the value of a calf, of an eagle. Amalei, so Reloi said to him, Rechmana Nitzla Mahai Data, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save us what you're saying. Because Reloi is saying, Memanav Shach, if it's significant enough to be considered different than the original article, then it should be considered different enough that it should be chayiv, that it shouldn't be chayiv dalva hay. And if it's not considered different, then it should be, then we should go according to the current value. Amalei adrabba, rechmana nitzkan bedata didach, your position that you consider this a significant change is something that I can't accept, and therefore you are wrong, and you do pay dalad vehei, but we take the value it had at the time of the geneva.